privilege that Rav Schechter, our Rebbe, is here. And we asked, instead of Rav Schechter preparing a presentation, that this be a question and answer session. I should feel free to ask the Rosh Yeshiva questions about halacha, about philosophy. And Rosh Yeshiva will answer, although he has to leave promptly at 10:15. So we have 25 minutes that we can ask.
I mean, I know all the answers, but okay.
Josh. I was just wondering about a philosophical question. How come only about 5,000 years ago Hashem decided to create the world, create the Torah?
How come what? Why?
Only about 5,000 years ago Hashem decided to start the Torah about the world, about Judaism started that.
The Medrash tells us that God created other worlds and he destroyed them. Why did God only create the world 6,000 years ago? So the Medrash says that God created a world and he destroyed it, created another world, and he created several worlds and he destroyed all of them till he finally created this world. We don't know exactly what that's supposed to imply. What does it mean? God created a world and he wasn't happy the way it turned out. So how could that be? When a human being, when I get married, and I thought this is going to be the wonderful, the best girl in the world, and then we're going to live in a certain city, we're going to have so many children, and it doesn't always turn out the way you want. It's not the best girl in the world. It's not the best job. So people can make a mistake. But if God wants, he created the world just by his will. He wanted that the world should, so if he would have a desire, the world should come into existence, should be a beautiful, wonderful world. So that's what it's going to be. So how can it be that he created a world, he wasn't happy, he destroyed it? It's very unclear what the Medrash means. So it's usually assumed to mean that the Tanakh describes God as doing activities, not necessarily 100% accurate description, that's what he really does. Like it says that God rested on the seventh day. He worked for the 6 days creating the world, he rested on the seventh day. He had to work so hard, he was so exhausted that he had to rest. He created the world without any exertion of effort or energy. So it means that Tanakh, the Chumash, describes that God rested on the seventh day to teach us that we should rest on the seventh day. We should do v'halachta b'dracha. We should imitate all the ways of God. God created us b'tzelem elokim, and to preserve this tzelem elokim that was implanted within us, we should imitate the ways of God in order to preserve the tzelem elokim. So a lot of times the Tanakh describes God, the Tanakh or the Midrashim describe God as doing activities, not necessarily 100% accurate that that's what he did. It's an approximate description that we should learn from that how we should act. So the description that the rabbis have based on Tanakh, that God created several worlds. He created a world and he destroyed it, created a world, and so until he finally created this world, is to teach us this lesson that we shouldn't give up. If we fail the first time, we shouldn't give up. If at first you don't succeed, you try again. God didn't succeed the first time for some reason or another. So he created a world and he destroyed it, created another world and he destroyed it. That's how some explain we have all these old fossils that seem to indicate that the world is billions of years old. How can it be? According to the tradition in Chumash, the world is only 6,000 years old. So some say God created the second world on top of the first world, created the third world and the fourth world. All the worlds were created on top of the original world. So the original world was started billions of years ago. We don't know. But he gave the Torah to, he started giving the Torah to, a little bit of the Torah was given to Adam HaRishon, the first man who was created, taught him a little Torah. Then Noah had to know a little more Torah. He had to know which animals were kosher, which are not kosher. The kosher animals, he had to take 7 pairs instead of 1 pair each. And he understood that he has to bring sacrifices and the kosher animals after the flood was over, and then more Torah was understood by Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, till the whole Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Torah was given little by little. It wasn't all given in one shot. Little by little, till we got the whole Torah.
Can you explain, what is the goal of davening, prayer? Like, what is a person supposed to hope for or strive for, in the sense that we believe that God knows everything, knows what's best for me, and what am I doing? Am I changing something in davening?
The Torah tells us in the beginning of Bereshis, when God created the world, it says that it didn't rain and the grass didn't start to grow, no vegetation was growing, because God hadn't yet created man. And that's how the rabbis understand that pasuk in Chumash, that God hadn't yet created man, and man didn't begin to pray for the rain. God doesn't want to give the rain until man is going to pray for the rain. So that's why when it's the rainy season, we're supposed to say in the Shemoneh Esrei, we're saying Talamot Lebracha, we should ask for the rain. We think, if we're not going to ask for the rain, it's not going to rain. It's going to rain anyway. Even if I don't daven at all, it's going to rain. Yeah, it's going to rain because someone else is praying for the rain. What if nobody prays for the rain? Maybe it's not going to rain. The rabbis have a tradition that's what it says in the Chumash. Or the Mayin L'Avoid HaSa'adama, that God hadn't yet created Adam, and there was nobody to pray for the rain. God wants us to ask Him, to have a relationship with Him, to ask Him to give us single people, should ask for a good shidduch, should ask for a parnasa. The single boys think it's a big joke, parnasa. Single boys think it's a big joke to ask for a shidduch. You know how many people are getting divorced? They knew the girl for 10 years. They knew the girl for 20 years, and then they're getting divorced afterwards. Obviously, they made a mistake. So you have to ask. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk Tehillim. Azos yispal kol chassid le'es mitzo. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, the chassid, the pious man, should pray for certain things. So what is it referring to? Azos yispal le'es mitzo. The Talmud says, Ashidach matzi isha matzatov. You have to pray to God. You shouldn't fall in. You should marry the right girl. You have to pray for God when you're married. You should pray that you have children, that children should be healthy, and you should get a good job. Not everybody has a decent job. Not everybody has a job. We have to pray for everything. And even if we're healthy now, we have to pray that God should continue to give us the good health. Our situation is so fragile. A person can be healthy now, and he can drop dead a minute later. Can have an aneurysm and drop dead a minute later. A person can be making a parnasa, and then his whole company closes down. So we have to continue to pray that God should continue to be kind to us. He wants us to pray for everything. God does need the praises and He does need the thank you. So the rabbis established, based on the psukim in Tanakh, that it's not derech eretz, it's not the proper derech eretz to just pray and to ask for God to take care of all of my needs. You have to introduce, by way of introduction to the prayer, the essence of the prayer is the middle part of the Shemoneh Esrei. So the introduction should be to praise God a little bit. The conclusion should be to thank God for all the wonderful things that He gave us. We thank Him for everything. And the middle is the essence of the prayer, when we ask God to take care of all of our needs. The Rambam's opinion is that the obligation to pray once a day, every day, is a biblical obligation. To pray three times a day and to have the specific text of the tefillah, the nusach ha-tefillah, that we daven, that was instituted by the rabbis. But min ha-Torah, biblically, the Rambam starts off Hilchos Tefillah. One is obligated to daven once a day, every day. With a basic outline, he says, you start off with an introduction of Shebach, you praise God, then you give the conclusion of Hoidoya, you thank God, but the essence of the prayer is the middle part. God should take care of all of our needs. So Moshe Feinstein writes in one of his Svarim, but on Shabbos and Yom Tov we leave out the whole middle section of the Shemoneh Esrei. So we don't ask for any needs. We don't ask God to take care of our needs. So how, according to the Rambam, we're not a fulfillment of the mitzvah to daven once a day, every day, if you leave out the middle part of the prayer? So Moshe Feinstein explains that if you look in the Shemoneh Esrei of Shabbos and Yontif and Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, the middle part always has Bakashas Tarachim. The middle part always has, we ask God to take care of our needs. But instead of asking God to take care of our physical needs, like on the weekdays, we ask for Parnasa, and we ask for Refuah for the sick people, and we ask for the Geula and Yeshua and Nachama. On Shabbos we ask for spiritual needs, Ruchnias Dikin needs. So the Bakashas Tarachim on Shabbos, asking for the needs is, God should accept our observance of Shabbos. He should sanctify us with His mitzvahs. He should give us our share in Torah. Everyone has a share in Torah. Every Jewish person has a share in the Torah. Some people have a larger share. Some people have a smaller share. So we ask God to give us our share. He should purify our souls and so on. So on Shabbos Yom Tov also, the essence of prayer always is the middle part. We ask God to take care of our needs. And on Shabbos Yom Tov, we ask for the spiritual needs. They tell a story. It says regarding the Nochash, the snake, when you read in Parshas Bereishis, the snake convinced Adam and Eve to eat from the forbidden tree, and then the snake was punished. So what was the punishment? He should eat offer. He should eat dust of the earth. Apparently until then he was eating normal food, delicious food. From that time on he eats offer. So the rabbis in the Medrash point out that when God punishes, it's not like when a human being wants to take revenge for someone else. I'll choke him, I'll kill him, I'll ruin his parnos, I'll ruin his marriage, I'll do everything just to destroy the person. God is very kind. When he punishes, he doesn't really give such a terrible punishment. Look, he punished the snake, and the snake never has any problem. Before the snake sinned, before the snake coaxed Adam and Eve to eat from the forbidden fruit, he had to eat normal food. So if he'd be stuck in a desert island where there's no food, he had nothing to eat. And after he was punished, he eats dust to the earth. So wherever he goes, there's always dust to eat. So it's not so bad for the snake. So all the commentaries ask, it turns out that crime pays. Before the snake sinned, he had to eat normal food, healthy food. So if he's stuck somewhere, there's no food, so he'd have to go hungry. And after he sins, his punishment is that whatever he eats tastes like dust, it doesn't taste good, and he doesn't eat delicious food, but he always has food. He has no worries about food. So doesn't it turn out that the God is rewarding the snake for sinning? So they quote in the name of a famous Hasidic Rebbe, know that that was a punishment. If a person has everything that he needs, and he has no need to ask God for any assistance at all, that itself is a punishment. We only pray when we're missing things, when we need things. When you don't need anything, then you don't pray. The essence of prayer is to ask God to take care of our needs. So that was the punishment for the snake. So there was a rabbi in Eretz Yisrael who was telling us, a rabbi left, he used to be in Florida. He lives now in, I think, Matat Yo. He lives in Eretz Yisrael. So he told us they had a case that came to the Jewish Federation there. They had social workers. A boy thought he was Jewish. Turned out that he wasn't Jewish. His father was Jewish, his mother was not Jewish. So the mother had passed away. And the father was raising the son. And then the father wanted to remarry. So he met a woman, and he's prepared to remarry the woman. The woman didn't want to marry him. She has this. He has this teenager roaming around the house. She didn't want to enter a marriage with a child. So the father was a wealthy man. So he gave the son, a true story, he gave the son a credit card, and he said, he gave him the home where they used to live, and he was going to move into a new apartment with his new wife, wife number two. And he told the son, here's a credit card, here's an apartment, here's a credit card, here's an automobile. You can buy whatever you want. I'll pay for everything. But one condition, never come to visit me. Never call me up on the phone. My new wife doesn't want. So the kid went into depression. The father gave him everything. He had no problems in the world. The kid went into depression. So he went, he thought he was Jewish because the father was Jewish. He went to the Jewish Federation in Florida, and he went to the social worker. So they started to help, and then when they discovered that he wasn't Jewish, so they sent him to the non-Jewish social worker. But that's a problem. If a person has everything taken care of, and he has no needs, and he doesn't have a father, he doesn't have God to ask to help and take care of his needs, that's a disaster. A person can have a nervous breakdown from that. So God wants us always to keep in touch with him. So he doesn't always give us everything that we need. When we finish eating, when you have a cup of soda and you say, Bori Nefashos, so we say, God created all the people and created all the things that they need. And the Chesreinon, he created us. We're missing a lot of things. And we have to ask that he should give us the things. He doesn't cause the Shidduch should come in our Shemayim, that we should meet the girl, 1, 2, 3. We have to ask for the right Shidduch. You have to ask for a good job. And you have to ask for children. You have to ask for good health. It's a healthy thing that we maintain a relationship with God. And even though everything is going well, because we know that overnight we can lose everything that we have. The human situation is always fragile. So we always have to pray to God that he should continue to be kind to us. He is going to be kind. He's a kind God. But we have to ask him. That's the way he set up the world from day number one. He wants man to have a relationship with him. It's a healthy thing. We should ask God to take care of all of our needs.
Also on that, Bazinas, there's kindness that talks about praying for like miracles and that to occur in prayer. Like, if someone's wanting to go to Eretz Yisrael and for the profession that they're looking at going into, when they would, after they would graduate, they wouldn't be able to look at going into that field. That's not kind of a miracle, asking for a miracle, that if there's nothing there already, that that person would be able to use. It's something more like just where you can obvious, where there's no chance that nature can be used by God. That's what's asking.
The Mishnah tells us that it's not permissible to ask God to make a miracle, to change the whole world. We always do ask God for miracles. We ask on occasion for miracles. So the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch ask, is not against the din. The din is that you're not permitted to ask for a miracle. I remember once, many years ago, the first time I visited Eretz Yisrael, so we visited the Panevish Yeshiva. So they were davening mincha, and they were going to say Tehillim for one of the people in the kollel who had cancer, who was sick. So the Mashgiach, Abchatzka Levenstein, prominent Tamachal, he didn't want to say Tehillim. He said, what do you mean? You're asking God for a miracle? The guy's half dead. How can he ask for a miracle? So one of the Rabbonim was standing next to him. Shmuel Razovsky was standing next to him. So he said, no, has the same degree of cancer that so-and-so had, and so-and-so got better. So the Magir said, okay, means that Bederach HaTeva, it's possible physically in the course of nature to heal. So then he's going to say Tehillim. But to say Tehillim for a person that's mamish half dead, and the doctors have given up hope, and they don't think that there's any way in the course of nature that he should get better, you're not permitted to ask God for miracles. There are a few exceptions to the rule. If you ask God for a miracle for an entire Jewish nation, so the Jewish nation has a hanhaga of l'mayla men ateva. B'nai Yisrael l'mayla men ateva. So that you're allowed to ask God for a miracle. Or an unusual tzaddik, the Gemara tells various stories in the second parak of Maseches Tainis about various tzaddikim who ask God for miracles on such a high madrega, so they have a right to ask for a miracle. But a plain person has no right to ask for a miracle, unless it's a miracle, a neis nister, there's a neis nigle and a neis nister, two different types of miracles. Sometimes there's a miracle, God is simply changing nature. So God, we have no right to ask him to change nature for an individual person, only for Klal Yisrael. But if he asks for a neis nister behind the scenes, so God is always pulling the strings behind the scenes. Let's say I'm going to apply for a job. There are going to be 250 people applying for the job. So why should the boss be interested in hiring me? So I can pray to God that he should put into the head of the boss that he should look favorably upon my application, and he should interview me kindly and give me a job. I'm not asking God to make a miracle to change that the sun should stop shining in the middle of the day, or it should start snowing in the middle of the summer or anything. I'm asking for a nice nister, that God should suspend his Bechira Chavshis. People, every person has Bechira Chavshis. And that's the way God runs the whole world. He suspends people's Bechira Chavshis, their freedom of will. And he causes people to make decisions this way or that way because he wants certain results to come about. So to ask for a nice nister that's known as a hidden miracle, like the story of Esther we were discussing the other week, what was the miracle on Purim? So there was no outright miracle, not the same as Chanukah, that the oil burned for 8 days, that doesn't make any sense. The miracles of Purim were that one step after the other, and the development of the whole story was a miracle. But nothing really broke the laws of nature. It was a miracle that the king married a Jewish girl, and one step after the other, and that the king let her live, and he didn't kill her after she came in without permission. And so every step of the way was miraculous in the sense it was a nice nistam. So those kind of miracles you're allowed to ask for. But a miracle to violate the laws of nature, that the Mishnah tells us, you're not permitted to ask for.
Also, I was wondering, because there's a group of two rabbis, a head rabbi and his main disciple, and they talk a lot about using prayer the way of Breslov, like just personal prayer and that, and asking Hashem for your needs and that. I'm sure that a lot of the cases they talk about where they have people praying in their prayers, as it says in Brachas, that if you keep on praying, then your prayers will eventually be answered.
If you repeat the prayer many times, you stand a better chance of having your prayers answered. This, the rabbis pointed out from Tanakh, various places, from Chumash, from Nevi'im, from Ksuvim, the more you pray. If a person asks me for a favor and he asks me 100 times, for sure I'm going to not do it. Such a nudnik, such a pill, I'm not going to do it. And a God runs his world differently. So God told us through the words of the Tanakh that the more often we ask in the prayer for this thing, so the better a chance, we stand a better chance of having the prayer's answer. Does mean that he's vada, he's certainly going to honor our request, but there's a better chance that he'll honor our request. So that's what the rabbis say. If you prayed for something and you weren't granted your request, you should continue to pray a second time and a third time. Yes?
Josh had a question.
Yes?
Are there any suggestions that you do for getting shit up? Like besides like just looking or doing life next to someone? Any particular...
Should ask your parents. We always look at our parents. They don't know. They don't know anything, these parents. We don't know why God instituted the parents. What do you need parents for? Parents are, I belong to the parents' union now. Parents are nice people. They know their children pretty well, usually. Unless the parents are not observing that the children are observing, they don't know at all what the child wants. But under normal circumstances, the parents do understand their children.
Well, in the case for myself, my parents are not observant. So in that case...
So they wouldn't be able to get you the right person. So try to ask the rabbis in the yeshiva. Try to ask the older boys in the kailo if they know a nice girl from a nice family for you. Ask around. Get it. It doesn't make sense to do it on your own. Ask other people to help you out.
Is it true that learning Midah will Hashem will look favorably upon that and find you shidduch?
I don't think so necessarily. Got to do that too. Before you get married, you have to know the laws that are relevant after you get married. But that's not going to... The girl's not going to fly down from heaven. You got to call her up for a date. You got to meet her at some function. So ask some friends. Ask some older friends who are married. They'll help you out.
To what degree should life be a struggle that one should accept it or that one should try to change it? Like, to what degree like, should... How do we word this question? What degree should one accept that life is a struggle?
Life is always a struggle for everybody. The Christians in America like very much the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, because they visualize religion as having a very calm effect. A very religious person will be very calm, he has no struggles whatsoever. Rabbi Soloveitchik always used to make fun of that. He doesn't see why that's true. Religion doesn't calm you down. Religion gives you more conflict, gives you more problems. We believe in God and we see this evil world, and how does it correspond? If there's only one God and God is good and God is kind and he knows everything that's happening, has full control, how does he allow all these things that... Religion poses a lot of kashas, a lot of struggles. We have to overcome all the struggles. Life is always tumultuous. Everyone has a lot of struggles in life. Nothing comes easy for anybody. Some people have a more difficult time than others. Some people have bigger struggles. But that's what life is all about. To learn how to cope with struggles, with challenges.
Boris has a question. Yeah, Boris. Boris.
What is more important, to do more mitzvot or less averot?
Which is more important, to do more mitzvot? The best is...
So they can sleep and like...
You should a person sleep? Yes,
no,
you should
sleep. You don't do any averot,
no.
But you don't do any mitzvot at all?
No. If God does not appreciate mitzvahs that are done by a person who is a sinner. The person first has to stop doing the averis, and then God will appreciate when he davens, when he prays, and when he does mitzvahs, when he learns Torah.
It's not like one for one. It's not like one for one. I did like averot.
No, no. The pasuk says that God doesn't asher lo yikach shochad. God doesn't accept any bribery. How can we bribe God? What are we going to give him? So the Ramban in his commentary on Chumash explains that it means shochad mitzvahs. Person gives a lot of charity and he does a lot of mitzvahs and he learns a lot of Torah and therefore he thinks he's going to get away with doing averot. So the Torah says God doesn't accept that bribery.
Don't have a scale how many better.
God is very kind. He's going to judge us kindly, but we should realize that it's not proper to learn Torah if we're sinning. The pasuk in Tehillim reads, "V'la Rosha Amalekim Malucha L'Sapachukoi." God.